Item number two on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our May 3rd, 2020.
Move to approve. Second.
Getting the sound effects of breaking waves. It's kind of nice. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you would like to make a public comment, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and you'll have 2 minutes. Anyone here for public comments?
I'd like to make a public comment.
Sure.
Do I go to the lectern or can I sit right here?
I think if we're commenting as the public, we probably are required to go to the lectern, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kathy Landing. I live at 2114 Seawee Indian Court in Mount Pleasant. I just wanted to say that this weekend, for the first time, and I drive there all the time, I was able to drive down Park West Boulevard, which is almost complete, not quite to the roundabout at Bessemer, but the rest of it is. And I can't tell you what a different experience it is. It is incredible. Not only was it much, much easier, and it was a busy time because it was Saturday morning, people getting out and about on the holiday weekend, but on top of that, it was beautiful. And I remember when I was first running for council, someone asked me, you know, what is it that needs to be fixed about Mount Pleasant? What's wrong? And I said, everybody always talks about what's wrong, but one of the things we get right over and over is that when we do something, we really do it well. So I just want to, we may even be talking about an update. I just want to commend y'all for an amazing job because I know the people that live up there, including myself, are very, very thrilled. Thank you.
Any other public comments? All right. Item number four, overview of traffic light sequencing. I appreciate y'all giving us this background, and I know we talk about it from time to time. Wanted to see if there's anything you need us to do, anything the town needs. I know our traffic seems heavier than usual. It's tourist season, and we got an email from one of our residents who owns a business on the Isle of Palms, was just wondering if there's any way that the flow coming back off the beach, not just on, you know, weekends and stuff, could, if there's anything with the sequencing that we could do to help. So tell us how we do it, how it works, and let's see what we got.
Yeah, certainly. Good morning, Mayor, members of council here. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to educate you and bring you up to speed on sort of generally how our traffic signal system works. So from a high 50,000 foot view, we have 64 traffic signals in the town. We really have three major corridors, the US 17 being the largest with 27 coordinated signals, the second being Coleman, then Sawyer Boulevard with 12, and then the third being Long Point corridor with just 6. So for each one of those different corridors, we have different time of day configurations. So to talk really quickly about a coordinated system versus an isolated system, a coordinated system is intended to push, platoon vehicles and push them through those main lines, which would be US 17, Coleman, Long Point, without stopping as much as possible. There's a lot of challenges that come with that, signal spacing, speeds, and volumes, as you mentioned earlier, especially when you start to get those unfamiliar drivers in the tourist seasons. School is another big factor that comes into play. So for each one of these different corridors, we have different time of day configurations to address those fluctuations in volumes. And really try again to push as many folks through to their final destination as possible with, you know, in as least amount of time. So a couple of the things that have happened recently that probably have sparked a lot of citizen calls are a few that are mentioned here. These are over the past month and a half. These are issues that have come up, and to say that the system works 100% all the time, it's just not possible. You know, there's technology that fails, which is the instance of this first intersection here, a US 17 and Hungry Neck. We did have a processor which basically runs the signal timings fail, and so then it essentially goes out of coordination with the adjacent signals and makes progression feel a little bit more choppy. We do and are continually working to bolster our sort of reserve of supplies to quickly address this. This was just happened to be one of the newer intersections that we had updated to the Hawkeye radar detection, and our old processors that we had in place are not compatible with that, but we overnight shipped it, and we've actually since then purchased two newer processors to address the concerns of this intersection and others that have been upgraded. Another intersection that received some concern was just to the north of that, US 17 at Indigo Square. As you're probably aware, fire department back in December of 2019 installed our fire preemption technology, which is great and has shown major benefits for them as far as responding to incidences and improving their overall safety in those responses. Unfortunately, there was a malfunction with one of the vehicles and the controller there where it was still trying to preempt and stopped 17 for about 10 minutes, which, as you can imagine, with a daily volume of about 62,000 to 40,000 vehicles, depending upon where you are on 17, certainly has an impact. A couple other issues: Coleman Boulevard at Wilden. You know, that's one of the corridors that we recently upgraded to that Hawkeye system, and as such, we're implementing and fine-tuning some of those time of day configurations. One of the challenges here is just those proximity of those two intersections. They're only 300 feet apart, and so coordinating those, we have it coordinated now, and it's just a matter of troubleshooting. And then lastly here, the big one that I think most folks have been calling, and I've certainly received some citizen concerns over this over the past few weeks, especially as beach traffic and tourist traffic picks up, is, as you mentioned, Mayor, the Isle of Palms at Rifle Range Road intersection. So we did have some issues there. There were some issues that took us a few weeks to resolve, and it was creating a backup onto the island and getting out to the island during those peak travel times. We've since resolved that. It was a miscommunication between our staff and the rhythm engineers who are on-call sort of consultants for this adaptive signal system that we have, and it was favoring really the rifle range approaches, and I think that they misunderstood what the intent was, is to really favor the Isle of Palm approaches. But that's since been resolved. We were in court in touch with the chief of police out on Isle of Palms and made them aware that the system's resolved, and we've observed it over this past weekend in particular. Even with the heavy traffic, it seemed to be operating as pretty efficiently, all considering that influx of volume. So that's generally the update. Again, we have a great staff, the two signal technicians that are on call really 24/7, a great on-call contractor that has done wonders for us when we're not able to necessarily get up in a bucket truck and fix something. So we're always looking and responding, but also being proactive and doing inspections annually, as well as, you know, riding the corridors pretty much bi-weekly to make sure that there's no hitches. Luckily, we have a very active citizenry, so, you know, if we don't catch it within a certain amount of time, it's certainly going to be brought to our attention and addressed immediately. So that's a quick overview of the traffic signal system. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have on more specifics or generalities.
Mr. Chapman?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, James, for that presentation. And our signals normally do work very well, having done this for many years. I recognize how well they do and when we have an issue. And as you know, I don't hesitate to call. I have two questions. Number one is, on the fire preemption system, I'm sure that the fire, as well as other emergency vehicles that might use this, are very diligent in making sure that gets turned off eventually. Is there a fail-safe action that is accomplished if for some reason the fire preemption system does not turn off?
Yes, sir. So just to give you a brief overview of how that system works, so there is some equipment in the cabinet, and that just basically overrides the controller and the red light, green light approaches. Now, on each of the vehicles, I think it's about, I can't recall, 25 vehicles that the fire department has outfitted with that technology. There is a fail-safe when either the vehicle is put into park or the driver door opens. It should shut off that preemption message that's being sent to those individual signals. In this case, it didn't do that. We got the contractor out to repair that, and they took that vehicle off of service for a very short period of time. The fail-safe would be in this instance where that was basically preempting that signal continuously, even though it was in park. We send a traffic signal technician out there, and they just simply detach that piece of equipment from the controller in the cabinet, and everything reverts back to normal.
I'm kind of talking about whether it's 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. That's kind of what I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think, again, with our active citizenry, we get those calls very quickly, as we did for the Indigo Square intersection. And we, you know, that's one of the first things that's on our kind of troubleshooting checklist at this point, is to see and reach out to our fire department. Are they responding to an incident over there? And then they do have ability, if they physically turn off the vehicle, then everything stops. Again, it should stop when you put it in park. It should stop when they open the passenger's or the driver's side door. In this case, it's, you know, technology. It just had a glitch and it's been resolved. But that's those sort of two fail safes as we go through our checklist of seeing what's wrong with those signals.
Right. On the Isle of Palms connector at Rifle Range Road, I know a few years ago there was a lane added at Rifle Range Road so that we had a turn lane there and we had a through lane added. Is there any thought into extending that back to the bridge itself, or the connector as it comes off of the marsh area?
There is, actually. So in this latest round of CTC and TST applications for the county sales tax there, we did apply for one, really a restriping concept, leaving the Isle of Palms. As you may know, there is that additional through a right turn lane that was added. The right through lane is really underutilized right now. Everyone that comes off just stays in that same lane, and it's the left through lane that backs up and basically blocks that right through lane and the right turn lane. We've gotten with DOT, we've gotten sort of a preliminary approval from the District 6 traffic engineer to pursue that through the CTC and TST funds, and it would be a simple restriping concept where everyone, instead of funneling into that left through lane as they're leaving the island, would now be funneled into the right through lane and be able to make that decision on whether or not they need to get over to make a left on Rifle Range or Hungry Neck, or continue straight or turn right on Rifle Range. And yeah, we think that those improvements,
that's great. That would not be a complete solution, but it would help. It would help. Thank you.
Mr. Chapman, I think a good opportunity for the town as well as the IOP, quite frankly, because that really is affecting their traffic. It's that, yeah, approach. Would be this pavement remarking plan, because basically it takes away that underutilized lane and it forces people into it. They don't even know they're being forced into it. Right. So we get maximum capacity of the signal. Now, that's not going to, you know, 4 o'clock on Saturday, everybody understands what those are, those issues are, but on a daily basis, it would certainly help. And I think that, you know, if they might think about a co-funded opportunity with TST or CTC with the town, because it's about a $250,000 remarking. So it's not inexpensive, but
that's good. But that's a good, yes, good improvement.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lane?
Yes. In regard to the new Hawkeye systems, first of all, the way that the lights are controlled and the way they change, and the intelligent eye that, you know, takes a look and sees what the traffic flow is, I hear more complaints about that than anything else. So since we have just put in a new system, which sounds like we are essentially solving the problems, but yet we're working through some kinks, would you mind sending us something, at least Transportation Committee, if not all of Council, that sort of describes that new system? Is there something like that that can be done?
Certainly. We can put together sort of an informational bullet point packet to send to the committee.
That'd be great. And then what we can do is, depending on each person's individual habits, you know, let the public know that we've just made this transition. It's going to be so much better. Here's why. But there were a little bit of glitches as we made that transition. So thank you for letting us know about that.
Yes, ma'am.
Some of y'all, I think Brad and I think Eric, that regional meeting we had, Secretary Hall came down and Leland Colvin and some others, and it was mostly about beach traffic and getting regional coordination. But that's where we learned that the big buzzword in transportation now, the acronym is TISMO, Traffic Information System Management. Would this fall under that, you know, what they were saying is that maximize your traffic flow now on the infrastructure you already have, because as we've seen as a town, I think Eric, you've told us, it's 5 or 6 years from concept to completion of anything. But they were talking about, especially for the beach traffic and everything, in that study, that for every 1 minute the traffic is stopped, it takes 5 to 6 minutes for it to recover. And on the beach Saturdays, to try on the island side, even if there's no parking left, keep the traffic moving, because once it stops, you know, it's going to back up and back up, and we're going to get that. So I guess part of all this is to see, you know, what we can do as a town for our TISMO, you know, to be cutting edge. And it sounds like some of these new adaptations that we have, the new resources we have, but as we look down the road, maybe everything we do can keep that in mind, that we're not, you know, sooner or later you run out of places to build new roads or to widen roads, and we're just going to have to do. And it sounds like y'all are ahead of it, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And one of the other things, Mayor, is the 511 system. A couple years ago, the town partnered with Charleston County to put up two cameras for the causeway, Ben Sawyer Causeway, as well as IOP. And that camera, I haven't checked in a while, but supposedly it's on the system for people to be able to view and see what traffic conditions are. So that's another technology aspect that the town has pursued. And you can certainly take those steps further and start doing variable message boards and those types of things, and that's being discussed with 41 projects. So.
Right. By the way, if a citizen has a traffic issue like you were talking about, what's the number for them to call? Is it the police department or is it traffic, so that they can say, hey, we got an issue like the one at Indigo Square?
I guess it would really depend on the scenario. If the signal is in flash or has no power, certainly the police. If it's more of a timing concern, then the town's transportation division would be okay. The most appropriate.
What's that number?
843-856-3080.
3080?
Yeah, 856-3080, yes, sir.
3080, got it. Well, that's good. Any other questions on this?
We won't give out James's cell phone.
They can call me, I'll answer.
Well, we certainly noticed on a holiday weekend, especially tourists, and when they're not sure where they're going, all the traffic sequencing in the world is not going to fix that. But it seemed particularly intense this weekend. All right, item number 5, update on the repaving of Pitt Street.
Mayor, I had invited Brian Brooks, who's the capital program, department head. I do not see him here, but I will try to get through this as best as I can as far as any questions go. My understanding is, of course, they're supposed to finish up final paving and pavement markings this month. Through our inspectors, a few issues at the intersection of Denning,
right,
where they've had to get back in there and address some issues that's thrown off their schedule. But that's my current understanding, but I'll be happy to ask you or answer any questions in general about it.
Okay. I know, you know, it's primarily a waterworks project, and they were hoping to at the end have a big community celebration that the street has reopened, but it's gotten delayed. It's gotten pushed.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
of some
sir. And the other thing I'll mention, you know, parking has always been an issue in there, and I want to say, by the town agreeing to take that street out of the state system, we were able to develop a parking plan that essentially is equal to what it was last time as far as number of spaces. In fact, we think it actually works a little bit better as far as having some delivery spaces available, as well as the required ADA. So there's 35 there before, 35 going to be in the final post-construction. So, but I will follow up with I'll follow up with Brian and get the absolute latest out when we send out some of the information on the Hawkeye system.
Got it. Any other questions on that? All right. Update on ongoing projects.
Morning. Morning.
Morning. Thank you, Mayor, members of the committee. So let's see where we are here. Okay. Like Mrs. Landy said, we did get Park West Boulevard finally paved. Staff's very excited about that. We've opened it in stages, and the final stage will be opened by Friday, which is all the way to the Bessemer roundabout. The reason we're opening it in stages is because we're trying to give the landscapers some safety and some room to work in the medians mm-hmm. while they finish installing the irrigation and mulch and landscape plants and things like that. Final pavement markings should be ready in about 2 weeks. Contractor's got a few cleanup items to complete, and he's got to build a couple of concrete or masonry neighborhood sign monuments that had to get relocated. And other than that, it's pretty much complete, and we're very excited about that. It does look really nice.
Great.
Oh, here's some really good photographs of the completed project. This is I think at the Queens Gate roundabout, looking back towards the rec department, towards 17, if you will. And here's looking from the opposite direction. Got a little bird bath in the pavement. We'll get that fixed. Mm-hmm. Here's the roundabout. Still a little bit dirty, but it'll get swept and marked and get all the sand off of it, and it'll look really good in a couple of weeks. And there it is again. The Billy Swales Boulevard project, we've done everything we were supposed to do for the NEPA document. We've addressed all of FHWA's comments. Currently, the document is in review by the South Carolina Division of FHWA, and it was supposed to go to their legal department late last month. But we're ready when we get the word that it's approved. We will have a final public hearing, hopefully sometime in August or September. And then the consultant has initiated designs up to about 30% of our preferred alignment. So once we get the word, we can immediately move into right-of-way plans, development, and then right-of-way acquisition. And we're still trying to maintain the schedule. We've bumped construction out until April of 22, but we still think we can beat that and go to construction in the first quarter of 2022.
Sure. Okay, thanks. One question, if you could go back for a second, on the part about right away. Is there anyone that's going to be affected along that way that we need to sort of preempt, like discussions or get again?
There are a couple of properties out there. We don't impact any homes, but there are a couple of properties out there who they are owned by long-term residents who we happen to know, and they've been contacting us over the years. One of them is a property near Hamlin Road. It's an older family property. It's called Willow Pond. It's about 7 acres, and we do take a back portion of that property. Turns out I went to middle school with the property owner, so he calls me quite frequently, and he has a developer that he's trying to sell it to, and so there's a lot of anxiety there on his part, not knowing what the alignment is going to be, and that's part of the frustration. But that's one of the major properties we're dealing with, and other than that, it's pretty much wooded terrain. Most of the property is owned by the town and the county. There are one or two residential properties along Hamlin Road and along 6 Mile Road where we may need to get strip takes, very narrow strips of right-of-way for widening. But other than that, most of the acquisitions are nominal, if you will.
Thank you.
I hope that answers your question.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Mr. Chapman.
Wasn't there an issue with the Corps of Engineers on this project?
Yes,
and
sir.
And if so,
yes, sir.
We resolved that.
So originally, we had a wetland delineation, and there was a rule change in Congress that declassified some of the streams and wetland classifications. So we have gone back and redone that wetland delineation to exclude those types of impacts from the project. That delineation has not been approved, but there was some initial pushback from the Corps about our preferred alternative going through the wetland. They wanted us to pursue a southern alignment that went through
the park.
Park property. And quite frankly, we're having a hard time selling that because it's the least environmentally destructive alternative, practicable alternative. So it's a challenge to argue that one away, but we're still pursuing the alignment that impacts the wetlands. Once we get the NEPA document approved, then we'll start dealing with the Corps again.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
Before we leave Billy Swales, one other thing. You said that you think we might be able to start as early as first quarter 2022, groundbreaking. Any idea when it would be complete because of starting that early?
It's about a year project, maybe 15 months max.
Okay.
So in March, April, or May of the following year.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Anything else in updates?
I've got a few more.
Great, all right.
It's okay with you.
Keep them moving. We're still okay. Under time.
All right. The US 17 to Rifle Range Road Connector Project, we're currently addressing DOT comments because we have to have an encroachment permit from them for the tie-ins at 17 Old Georgetown Road and Rifle Range Road. The project is currently under review by the town's DRT process. Right-of-way acquisition is ongoing. Appraisals have been ordered. We've completed all of our permitting requirements for that core permit, and we think that permit, we should have that permit in hand by August, and in order to meet construction timeline in October or November. We'll bid the project in August of this year, August through September, and hopefully issue a notice to proceed in November. I've got that project lasting about a year as well. Any questions on that one? Oh, Patriots Point Gateway intersection improvements. Good news on that one is we are advertising the construction bids this month. We will provide the contract will provide a utility window in the contract for utilities to be relocated before the contractor mobilizes to the site. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Construction by utility companies will begin in August, and the contractor will begin the waterline relocation in January. So this is a schedule that our consultant partners developed that includes a utility window in here. And right now we're in the orange portion where all the utility companies are getting their permits and getting their plans and ordering their supplies. And then in August, Dominion and Segra will mobilize to the site and begin relocating their utilities. Segra has an underground communications fiber that controls all of our traffic signals. While Segra is on site, they will also install Comcast and WOW conduits and get all those utilities out of the way. In the meantime, we'll issue a notice to proceed around September, but the contractor won't actually start work, the earliest being in January when he has to relocate the water line. And there's some benefits for doing this. We used something like this on Coleman Boulevard revitalization a couple of years ago, where we had a delayed notice to proceed. It allowed the contractor to you know, win the bid and then have 6 or 7 months to plan and get his crews together. And that's going to be very important these days because of the labor shortage that we're experiencing. But some of the benefits of the utility window is It gives bidders confidence that their work will not be impacted by any utility conflict delays or claims by utility owners for damage. This reduces the contractor risk and therefore results in lower, more accurate bid prices. So that's our main thinking here. Right now we're seeing prices go up on construction materials. So this provides us it removes contractor risk, and that's what it's all about in this type of construction. It ensures all the utilities are out of his way. All the utilities are located prior to him beginning work, and it gives the contractor additional time to plan and assemble his crew for the project. And I'll be happy to answer any questions on that.
Yes, sir.
There have currently been posted road construction signs on US 17 northward, and I'm not sure how far back they go. Does that have to do with this project, or do we know what those are?
No, sir. I don't believe they have. Waterworks did do some work out there on McGrath Darby earlier this year. I don't know if it's related to that project.
No, they've just recently been posted, and they go back to, I know, as far back as Ananap. And some of them are covered up. I guess all of them pretty much are covered up. But they are construction signs that are,
Mr. Chapman,
that are covered up.
The only thing I might guess it perhaps DOT is rolling out their annual resurfacing contract, and they'll put those up, and they're going to do some more work on Johnny Dodds. But I'm not aware of that. I can find out from Daniel Williamson and get back to you exactly what that is.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I know they just finished the pavement markings that look so good. Hopefully, if they do anything, they'll put them back just the way they are.
We'll follow up on that. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so those are our big three projects that we normally update you with about every month. But we've got a few others I wanted to talk about real quickly. The Maritime Port District Improvements project on Long Point Road at Wando Park Boulevard and Hopwell Creek Plantation. That little project has turned into kind of a booger of a project, if you will. We've had many, many constraints. We've successfully negotiated with the neighborhood, reduced their impacts. Every time we turn around, we have other challenges. The geometry of the road has been an issue, and we have to move a high voltage transmission tower that belongs to Dominion. So if there's something that can get in your way and delay a project, this one's been it.
Is that on the Hobcall Creek entrance side where they were concerned about their entrance?
Yes, sir. So we were trying to maintain all of their features there because they have these masonry walls with their signs on it, and we wanted to keep everything in between those walls and symmetrical, and that led to a through lane offset across the intersection of about 5 feet.
Right.
And that's not a desirable condition. So it took us some redesign, and we had to play with the design in order to bring that, have a straight through across. What that did was we had to move the curb lines, and that resulted in having to relocate a transmission tower owned by Dominion. Fortunately, it's not one of their bigger towers. It's a smaller tower. They were scheduled to upgrade them in 2 years anyway, so I think we're getting a little bit of a break on the cost on that. So that's also good news. We're still working on All American Boulevard phases 1 and 2. We are currently acquiring a small portion of right of way on phase 1 that's owned by the Laurel Hill County Park property. There's no funding for construction right now, but this is just another project the town's working on. And then we're also working on Mount Pleasant Way. Jane, did you want to say a few words about Mount Pleasant Way?
Let's be quick.
Be very brief. Just to update you really quick, we've got our first pilot project that we're under design right now with our consultants here for the 6 Mile Cultural Heritage Trail. There's been a lot of good feedback. We just wrapped up a survey, had a lot of good input from the residents. We think that this, you know, is a really good opportunity to kind of kick off this Mount Pleasant Way project, this legacy town project with a good you know, neighborhood level connection to the existing Rifle Range Trails Park that was just completed earlier, as well as connecting to other infrastructure on 6 Mile Road, and then the future US 17 to Rifle Range connector will also include a path. So we're really starting to build a network of trails here in sort of the central part of town that we're very excited about.
Great.
That's basically all the updates I have.
I see Brian's here.
Oh,
okay.
Be happy to come up.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Let me see if I can get back.
You snuck in on me.
Sure. All right. Thank you. Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Brooks with Mount Pleasant Waterworks. I'm the Capital Program Department Head and also the project manager for the Pitt Street project. Brad invited me to come today. I apologize, I'm a few minutes late. I was out at Pitt Street doing some coordination with the contractor. So my understanding is this is the opportunity to provide you an update on where we stand with schedule, completing the work. Majority of the work that's left is paving. So the week of the 12th, which is next week, our contractors prepping the Benning and Pitt Street intersection to emplace the binder and leveling course at the intersection. And then the week after that will be prep work for putting the final lift. It's the 2-inch surface course on Benning Street that goes from Royal or Wilden all the way down to its terminus at the harbor. So our estimated completion date at this point is looking towards the end of July to be complete with that work. So a recent change coordinated with Brad's department is the construction of the island that you see on the graphic. The approved design and what was bid in the project was a raised concrete island with mountable curbs, very similar to the inside of a roundabout. That's what was proposed to the Old Village Historic District Commission and was approved for construction. So hearing some of the feedback from the community as it relates to aesthetics and truck accessibility for deliveries to the post house and the florist, work in conjunction with Brad's department, we have changed that design minimally, where it's no longer a raised island. It will be a stamped asphalt. It'll be colored similar to concrete, and it will also have that herringbone pattern that was approved by the Historic District Commission. As part of that, there'll be two loading spaces that'll be provided, as well as signage. So we are in discussions with Asphalt Concepts, who does a lot of that work for the town, to get pricing and schedule for that work. And then the last piece of that will be restriping the parking on Pitt Street. So,
Brian, does the what's the right term? The rate? I guess it's not raised anymore, but the part that you're talking about, they'll have the herringbone pattern.
Yes, sir.
And I know there's been a lot of discussion. Is that so delivery trucks aren't taking up parking, regular parking, when they pull in there? Is that kind of how that works?
That was my understanding of the intent.
Okay.
So that, believe it or not, the island actually serves multiple purposes. In order for us to maximize the number of spaces out there, so we had 35 prior to the start of our project. We're going back with 35. There were provisions made, even when we talked with the Department of Transportation when they owned the right-of-way, and in coordination with Brad's department, the perpendicular spaces in front of the post house, which is right there in the vicinity of the island, that island helps to prevent backing up into cross traffic. Which way do you look in a two-lane road that's not striped for a two-lane road? So it's It's protection of vehicular movements at a very wide-mouthed intersection. The second piece of that also serves as a pedestrian refuge. So if you're crossing a very wide-mouthed intersection, it gives pedestrians a safe space to halt, allow passage of traffic or cars to back out of a space. And then third, to your point, Mayor, was to allow those delivery trucks to come in. Historically, they park wherever they can. They're anywhere from box trucks to the florist vans to there's a small tractor trailer that comes out there frequently. Anyways, they would be able to use that island as necessary to make those turning movements or to park. Will they still park in spaces? Depends on the time of their delivery. They do. They'll occupy that, offload, and get out of the way. So morning times, there's very few cars out there. I think the evenings during the peak for some of those businesses, you're not going to see those trucks right. to the extent you'd see in the morning. So okay. that helps answer the need.
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Is that? Yeah, one more.
All right.
Just one more. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. He's a VMI grad, actually.
I know.
You know
okay. I remind him of it every month.
Just real quickly, the Coleman Boulevard revitalization project that we completed a year or so ago has won an award by the American Council for Engineering Companies, and our consultant applied for the award. So they're here to present it to the town when actually it's kind of their award for their engineering, but it's kind of a dual award. Carter Hopkins with Trans Systems, I think, is going to present the award to the town.
Okay.
Carter, can you tell us exactly what it's for? Good to see you.
Absolutely. Good to see you. Yeah. Mayor Haney, members of council, thanks for having me here today. So this award, as Paul said, it's for ACEC 2020 Engineering Excellence Award for transportation projects that we won for the Coleman Boulevard Revitalization Project. And I just want to say huge thanks to everyone that was involved with this project. I was actually born and raised two blocks behind Moultrie Middle School, and my parents had one rule for me when I was growing up, and that's that I could not cross Coleman Boulevard. 20 years ago was a very unsafe corridor. Vehicles traveled very quickly. It was very unsafe. And I can say today, with all the hard work that Paul and the town and everyone put into this project, Coleman Boulevard's a much more aesthetically pleasing, and it's a much safer corridor for vehicles, bicyclists, and pedestrians. So congratulations.
Thank you, appreciate
Paul.
It.
Yep.
Thank you. All right, if that's it, we will stand adjourned. Thank you.